it's mature, and people have said they're itching for the classrooms are in direct wind path of the pods. Now, don't forget that Blackmon Gollop School has been the center of a lot of talk over the years, the recent years, because of the Cowich problem in that neighborhood. So the thing that the teachers and the students were complaining about when school was in session is exactly that particular concern that is being raised by this person here. They raised a couple of other things too, but the point I wanted to make to you is that I asked whether they were able to trace how they got the COVID. And they said to me, they believe they got it from a pharmacy, that three quarters of the staff and family of people associated with the pharmacy were in quarantine. So that's where they believe they got it. It means, therefore, that all of your facilities where people go for that kind of attention, they have to really up their game when it comes to respecting protocols. And the answers that you got, and in particular, what our doctor said to you, if I were in your position, I would be equally concerned and upset about it. I really would.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really think that even though you're dealing with people who are coming to our public health facilities, you should exercise some sort of care and concern for their health. And if, to my mind, the thing that you should be thinking of is, okay, someone here could possibly be actually positive. So let me protect everybody. He is masked up, two masks, face shield, his head is covered, his whole body is covered, his feet are covered, his hands are in gloves. So he thinks he's the person most at risk. When I am stepping into a room that someone just stepped out of coughing and sneezing, that's not fair. That's not right. It really, there's nothing that can justify that as not sanitizing and giving it 2 minutes. After all, we have waited for hours. What, 2 more minutes to say let the room blow, spray some alcohol, some Lysol, some something. They have medical hospital spray that they can spray to clean the room between testing. I'm sure anyone there would have been willing to wait the extra 2-3 minutes for the room to sanitize and blow before they step in. You don't want to feel more compromised when you leave the venue, right?
Point taken. We understand, certainly understand that point. I think there's nobody in Barbados who should object to the idea of trying to enforce proper protocols in health institutions and in public spaces in the country. I certainly would want to suggest and encourage that, you know, wherever possible, this be done. No, in a country such as this, in every country, I suppose, you have people who prefer to keep that hidden, who say that if you call and you raise that, it's a negative. And the country is trying its best in very difficult circumstances. And therefore, we are going to have to put up with some inconveniences, like what the woman spoke about at the Blackmon Gollop Center. Understood. But what you don't want to compromise is the protocols to stop the spread of the virus. And those of you who are calling for those types of measures certainly have my support. I certainly don't want to put you in a frame of mind where you feel as though we cannot get out of this. But we can only do so if we follow a disciplined approach to the problem. If you don't do that, you're going to make this situation worse. That's what I have seen from reporting on what has happened in other countries and what is emerging here at the moment. So let's get our act together in those various ways and try to stem the spread of this particular disease. What we are seeing now has the potential to get even worse before it gets better. So that's why everybody has got to be in this together. The people who are not wearing the masks in public spaces and stuff like that, people who are basically dismissing this because for whatever reason, in the attempt to stop the so-called panic, we are also in danger of giving some people in this country a false sense of complacency until we have too many deaths, and then they will see death as the best gauge of how bad the situation is.
Dr. Brastax, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
Happy New Year.
And same to you.
Mr. Ellis, I got a problem. Now, I do for surgery. I went last week around 7 o'clock in the morning. So, and I was waiting. Then after I sat down on the bench so long, David, I began to get real hungry, so I was feeling bad. They had the doctor tell me, well, we are overcrowded, so we can't take you this morning. I mean to say, if you're dealing with a private doctor, their duty is to call you and tell you, well, look, madam, don't come in this morning because we're overcrowded, and we will call you as soon as we get a bed. Not putting in to sit down on the bench the whole day without nothing to eat, David.
Ma'am, I really empathize with what you're saying. I appreciate the difficulty that you face, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't know what they are facing in there, you know.
There's a lot. I know they got a lot on the hand. Yes, David, they're reasonable. They got enough on the hand. But still, you got a nurse to call you and say, well, look, don't come in this morning because we won't be able to take you as soon as everything, we get it slowed down. We will call you, but not keeping you and telling you, come, you pack, you go on, and still you're going to sit down there and wait. David is overbearing.
I understand. I appreciate that point because I want to say to you that you know how many things that have been happening in the country that you and others have complained about over the years. Problems that would only be seriously exacerbated now by the load associated with COVID, you know.
Yes.
So you have a weak infrastructure in that regard. And now you put on top of that weak infrastructure this particular load. So you and all the people around you are going to have a situation where things that you expect to happen in the right way won't happen. You can have a situation where people go to a place like Harrison's Point and they complain that they can't find, the relatives can't find anyone to talk to update them on what is going on. Because, you know, the pressure on the resources, that pressure is so immense right now. And this is part of why we have to work real hard to curb the further spread of the disease because we are already stretched.
I know we stretch out to a baller. Yes, I agree. But David, when you go pay a taxi to go there, then a taxi to come back home, that is money, you know.
Yes, yeah, but I hear you, but all I ask of you to recognize is all of this is happening in a very serious situation.
Yeah, we a nurse should call you and tell you don't come in.
Well, that's true. A nurse should have done it. I agree with you 100%.
But that's what I'm looking at, David. I'm not pressuring them because it ain't easy down there at the hospital. I know they got enough on their hand. But you got somebody working with you, with the doctor, Casilla. Mr. Ellis, you don't come in this morning because we're still in fully with this thing because you wait a little bit longer. I can live with that, but don't keep me coming, and then nothing happens. You're going to go on back home.
When you say keep you coming, you've been for this surgery previously and didn't get it?
And get it.
You went previously?
I went last week, Tuesday, and I had to come back.
That was the first time you went for the surgery?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Have a good day. Thank you very much for calling. I hope you get through next time. Hello. Welcome to Dr. Brastax.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why some people, especially the first caller at her call, to stop making all these political statements because it ain't helping. The problem out there is because of people is not wearing masks and just being mixed with one another as though there's nothing out there. And because of that, the spread will go further and further. This is not political about this. Because when some person get the virus, you know, they are compromised, and then somebody else will get it if you don't have on your mask, and it's causing the problem. This is not political. And they're talking about when the government say that there are top things, right? They are dealing with the issues that they have to deal with, right? So that's why they are saying that. But when you come and make the political statements, it's not helping. Because when people are being shot in town, in the buses, and some people are not wearing the mask, that's where the spread is being spread, right? So all of us have to do our part to stop the spread of this virus. That's my issue, and that's my call to say.
Okay, ma'am. Thanks for calling. Don't Brass Tax, hello.
Hi, David. Morning to you.
Morning, ma'am.
I didn't hear the beginning of your program. I heard from Mr. P and the lady who called after. Really, I wasn't calling so much about her, but as it relates to comments from the lady who spoke to going to the polyclinic to get a test. But just in passing, the lady who came down hard on you about and persons should only listen to the ministers and not listen to social media and all of that. I wish people would just stop thinking that they have to protect the party, protect the prime minister, protect the politicians, and treat this as a national problem. And where persons have suggestion, listen to the suggestions. Where there is critique, listen to the critique. And I know they will absorb all the praises. Where there are praises to be given, they will be given. That's all I have to say on that, because I'm getting tired of persons constantly wanting to beat Barbadians down about they spreading this thing and then doing this. But soon as you have to say something about the government's response, you know, it's like you don't criticize, and they're going through a lot. All the governments in the Caribbean and across the world going through a lot. So I just really am tired of that. But in regards to the woman who called about the testing, that is a very, very serious matter. Very serious matter. And I'm calling because I had to be, last month I was in the environment, in the QEH environment. This is before the community spread. And I saw something there that was so alarming to me. Persons were crowded cheek by jowl. They were just up under each other, waiting for appointments. They had on their mask, yes, but they were going backwards and forwards, in and out from the bathroom to whatever, and they were just up under each other. And I am saying to you, we understand the crowded environment of the QH because it's our lone public hospital. But I also want to say, just as the lady said, the government is out there telling the private places, institution, companies, whatever, do they sanitize, and you see people rushing down, you go to a teller, they sanitize before, after the next one, etc. The situation she described, going into a room after somebody coughing and looking ill and whatever, I just find that to be so unacceptable that a health practitioner, whether a nurse or a doctor or whatever, did not understand the need to do sanitization when they're telling us to take all these precautions. And I add that to what I said earlier, what I saw in the hospital. And then I add that also to the gentleman, that old gentleman who lives in Canada and whose wife was down at the St. Lucie's Institution. And he called you crying. And he said his wife tested negative first, his wife tested negative second, and wherever she went, when she went for the second test, he felt, that's just his belief, that she might have contacted COVID there. And I'm saying to you, it is not a remote possibility. It is quite possible that because of the pressure being placed, the government institutions are not operating to the maximum standards that they're asking persons on the outside and in the private sector to operate.
I lost communication with you for a short while.
Sure.
Yeah, you were saying? Yeah, I think I lost communication.
Oh, I am so sorry. What did you hear last?
Well, basically, the last thing I heard was, as you talked about the situation, general situation that we are facing with what is expected of a doctor in these circumstances, you know.
And I was saying that you remember the gentleman that called you who lived in Canada and his wife was at in St. Lucie.
Yes.
And he said that the first test was negative. The second test, they called again and it was negative. But when they called her the third time, it was positive. And he felt, and it was only his belief, he felt that maybe she contracted it where she went for the second test or wherever they took her. We have had a number of situations. There was a guy on WhatsApp, a white Barbadian, telling you about where he was when he went for the test and the room, no bath, no, a bucket to bathe in, toilet without proper privacy. I have heard another person call and said St. Lucie, men and women in one bed, no door for the toilets. I've heard about Blackmon and Gallup.
Somebody just called me from Blackmon and Gallup and said, would you believe that they're not serving breakfast? It's not 11 o'clock, yeah.
Wow. And there could be diabetic persons there. And I'm saying not only that, they're in Blackmon and Gallup, men and women sleeping in the same room on mattresses on the floor. Then you hear somebody wrote a letter where their husband, a visitor, their marital Barbadian, blew up at Pentagon, the same thing. 15 persons in one room. And David, this comes right back to the point I made with you from the very beginning. Planning is important. Leadership, you look at leadership when you see how persons are able to organize and demonstrate foresight, etc. You are planning to open for winter. You made no preparations for persons coming in from England when they said the virus was there, and the fact that you understood that it was going to be increasing COVID. And yet, look at the facilities. Nothing has been done. When you tell me about somebody showing you a water bottle as a shower, it's disgraceful. It's a good thing the tourists are leaving, because this would go out on the Daily Mail and New York Times and wherever. And I'm saying,
all I'm saying to you all is this. If you think you've got something to complain about now, and you do, the trajectory that we are on could see us with a situation which is far worse than this.
Of course.
We're going to have to look at what we've got, work with it as best as we can. This is something people are going to be exposed to, something the likes of which we have not seen in our lifetime. Older people who go back to the 30s and so can be able to talk about that. But we haven't seen that kind of situation. This is different.
And remember, I told you that, David.
I think we all have a responsibility, daughter. While we point out the areas of weakness, we still have to work with all that we've got to try to see how we can just grin and bear some of it and improve some of it.
Anticipate
the next leg, because we must at this stage assume and plan for more COVID-related illnesses. Anticipate that the deaths will always be fewer than the cases that we have.
Yes.
And in particular, the serious cases that we will have from time to time. So it is to have an outline from the government of Barbados as to what else is being planned, so that if we get there, we will be able to see better things put in place so that we don't have all of these complaints. The other major discussion that we must have is with government is this. We've gone into a lockdown. What's the criteria that the government has established for coming out of lockdown? You know, nobody has told us that yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What we do know is that we are going into this pause.
Mm-hmm.
What is this pause going to be influenced by? The number of
Maybe
deaths?
Extended.
The number of cases? At what point are we going to retreat from this to the next stage? Or are we going to have a situation where the business people are going to go into the meetings and say, what they have been saying, we got to learn to live with COVID. They ain't got no plan to live with it. But just say, we got to learn to live with it. We've been locked down for too long. You got to open up the stores. And as far as they're concerned, if there are deaths, there are deaths. But we got to learn to live with it. So the government itself must present to us, the people of Barbados, it's plan for the next phase. Yep. I hope that they are working on that, because we want to help. We really want to help the processor by trying to minimize the complaints and stuff like that. But then you still got to give people a valve. People need to have an opportunity to speak, you know, because if you cover up all that they're feeling and that they're saying, then people look for other means by which they will express themselves. And you don't want that.
I want you to know that you have to distinguish between persons making legitimate criticism about the system, and not just criticizing for criticizing's sake. I'm talking, for example, of that woman.
Somebody's saying here that you're not right about men and women being together.
Well, I was told by someone who was sent the pictures. But anyway, I want you to know
that... You should ask them to send you the pictures too, so you can see that for yourself.
But listen to me, David. I don't want to be distracted about by WhatsApp foolishness. I am saying to you, I am disagreeing with your point about learn to bear with it. I'm saying there are some things we can bear with. But you see, when it concerns conditions that will enhance the chances of people increasing.
Listen.
Let me just finish, please.
Listen. You can pick and choose what it is that you want to live with. I made a general statement that there are some things that you are going to be able to live with, and there are some things that you're going to push for change on. I'm not specific on exactly which of these you're going to work with. So you will be able to pick yours, and I pick mine. Okay? It's 11:20. Good morning, and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay, and you?
Not bad at all. I want to answer a question. Can callers bring balance, or balance are only for yourself and the moderator?
I don't insist that callers bring balance. I get balance from callers by having one person who expresses a point of view and having another who may have an alternative view. I wouldn't insist that a caller must have balance. Indeed, there's some people who function as moderators who don't even believe that they should be balanced, you know.
But you do believe so.
Yeah.
All right. Good. About two Fridays ago, I was listening, and a lady called. I was saying that she was traveling in a minibus, and the passenger next to her didn't have on a mask. And she complained to the conductor, and the conductor did nothing. And I'm certain you said, well, it is not compulsory. You recall that conversation?
Yeah.
I would like to inform you that minibuses, one of the protocols, that you must wear mask. And
I corrected that, sir. In the same program, I corrected that observation which I had made. I made it clear that I had been aware that people had been charged for traveling on minibuses without their mask. So that was corrected.
Oh, I didn't hear the correction, because I can't listen for the 4 hours. Secondly, can I offer a suggestion?
Sure, you can.
Mr. Ellis, I would like to suggest, I'm not telling you how to run your program, it's only a suggestion, accept it or reject it. It don't matter. That people that call and say, they're here at this place, you get this sort of treatment, men and women sleeping by the same mattress, you're bathing. Just ask a question, if they were there. Because it might be the 10th hand information that they're receiving.
All right, but there are people who are confirming that at Harrison Point, there have been scenarios where I suspect when it's a couple couples sharing the same room as man and wife or stuff like that. So there could be that kind of situation, but the way it's projected by her, she projects it as if strangers who are male and female are thrust together, and I doubt very much that that's the case.
Surprisingly, I didn't hear you point out that to her, you know, so I thought you had accepted it at face value, to be quite honest. Unless I missed that comment.
You know, you just got to listen to a whole program. All right? That's where you missed the thing the other day. So listen for a while longer. But because sometimes a person says something, and I am not in the strongest position to say yeah or nay, you know. I mean, let me make the point.
Yeah.
There are things that I cannot come out and categorically say yes or no to. And I sometimes sit here and get the assistance of other people who are able to feed me the information. Sometimes I myself may say something that is inaccurate and somebody else sends something to me and I readily correct it. That is what we do from time to time. And therefore, that's why I say to you, the corrections and the balance and those things are not necessarily achieved in 1 hour of this program or 15 minutes. But the totality of the program is what makes it, brings it together. So I appreciate what you're saying, but at the same time, in my position, you should appreciate also that I cannot jump to conclusions with anything that anybody's told me. Sometimes I just have to sit down and listen. Okay? Thank you very much for your guidance, though. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. I'm just confirming that lady, the two ladies that talk in front of one another, right? Ellis, I leave the country and I had my test done at the polyclinics. When she hear the nurse tell the people to cough, it's not a cough in the ear. They give you tissue in your hand and tell you cough. And blow your nose. Why they tell you that? The test that them doing is to go down through your nose to pick up whatever down inside your throat. So that's what this tell you cough. There's not coughing in the ear. And when you finish, they sanitize the chairs, the table, the going, the write off whatever the write up on paper. And then the calling in the next person when it does sanitize. So I don't go with that. And the next thing is the lady that just called before the gentleman talk about men and women sleeping the same. No, it's not so. It's for families that sleeping together. But I was at up Paragon and we had a room for ourselves. The bathrooms was outside and they have one toilet in case if you get up during the night and want to pass water from going outside. And they gave us alcohol and sanitizer to clean the bathroom when you're done. You clean it, you throw the tissues inside the bin, and go back in bed. And whoever goes, you go in there. So I don't know what they're talking about because I went through it. And my test, before I leave Paragon, they gave me one more last test. It come back negative. And I don't like people just pulling down these people like this. It is wrong. If they don't know, let the people tell them the truth. I come from here to let people know what really go on in the clinics where you get this test.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.